Imagine you are walking down the street. The world is it's just rushing past you in this blur of mundane, purely functional clothing.
Just a sea of gray and black activewear, usually.
Right. But suddenly, you turn a corner and you are met with a wave of immaculate, deliberate style. You aren't just seeing one sharply dressed person. You are witnessing a harmonized collective of individuals entirely at ease, wearing some of the most exquisitely tailored garments you have ever laid eyes on.
And they clearly aren't rushing to a board meeting.
No, not at all. They aren't trying to sell you a lifestyle either. They're just walking together for the sheer joy of the garments themselves. Welcome to today's deep dive. Today is Thursday, March 5th, 2026.
And we have quite the topic to cover today.
We absolutely do. Today we are unpacking a movement that has quietly but forcefully redefined modern menswear over the last few years. We're examining excerpts and images from a really fascinating document. It's titled La Apertura del Cambio 2026 2.pdf.
Yes, the opening of change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the mission of today's deep dive is to explore how a completely casual stroll among a few friends recently evolved into a massive global stylistic movement that is completely redefining modern menswear. We are talking about Sbio Sampo.
It is a remarkable progression to trace. Sitting here today with this backdrop behind me, it's a stylish blend of a classic tailor's shop that opens up into a historic Florentine cityscape. It feels entirely appropriate for the territory we are about to cover.
It sets the mood perfectly.
It does, because Sbio Sampo represents a stark departure from the traditional Western view of fashion. If you consider how we typically consume fashion today, particularly on social media, it is almost exclusively about projecting an individual image.
Right, it's about standing out.
Standing out, asserting dominance, and engaging in what the industry often calls peacocking. But what's immediately striking in the source text is that Sbio Sampo is not about that at all. It is not about building an individual image.
It's much more communal.
Exactly. It is about a collective, intimate, and lived-in shared vision. It is an environment where every single person's presence matters, but crucially, their presence does not erase or overpower the others.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand how this scaled globally, we really have to look at its surprisingly humble origins.
Yeah.
The document traces the initial spark back to late 2022.
And it was incredibly organic.
Right. It wasn't born from some corporate marketing strategy. It started as just a casual conversation. Six Japanese menswear businessmen and one amateur buyer made a simple decision. They were going to meet up, put on their favorite suits, and just go for a walk in the city.
That was the entirety of the plan.
That was it.
Yeah.
But the text refers to this specific walk as an, let me find the, an aesthetic vindication. That feels like a very heavy, deliberate term for a walk around the block.
It is a heavy term, and to understand it, we have to look at the broader context of the menswear industry. For years, the classic suit has been battered by the relentless tide of casualization.
Yeah, streetwear and athleisure just kind of took over everything.
They did. Tailoring has been increasingly pushed to the margins, often dismissed by the mainstream as an antiquated novelty. By using the term aesthetic vindication, the founders are implying that the intrinsic beauty of the suit had been unfairly judged. Simply by wearing these garments with pride out in the open, they were reclaiming that lost territory.
That makes the roster of who was actually on this initial walk so much more compelling. The document lists the specific founders, and when you look at their professional weight, it translates directly into the visual evidence we have in the source material.
They are definitely not just casual fans.
No, they are heavy hitters. We're talking about Yusuke Tajima, who is a vintage shop director and strategy director at Safari. Then there's Yusuke Fukushima, known as Tiamo, a men's fashion PR and director, as well as a men's buyer.
Which brings a very specific curatorial eye to the group.
Exactly. Plus, you have Tomiyoshi Takada, a men's fashion director and the CEO of Wellness. Toshihiro Yasutake, a men's fashion PR and communication planner. Tomohiro Inaba, a department store buyer for Isetan Mitsukoshi. And Yasuhiro Miyamoto, a select shop buyer for Ringuji.
It is an immense cross-section of retail and styling knowledge walking down the street.
And you really see that expertise when you look at the vivid visual descriptions in the document. I mean, the sartorial details captured here are incredible. For example, there's a shot of a man wearing this striking black and white houndstooth suit.
Very bold pattern.
Super bold. But he anchors it with this stark, solid black tie. It's graphic, and it commands attention without shouting. You can really see that vintage appreciation in the heavy texture of the houndstooth.
And the beauty of that specific houndstooth look is how it serves as a foundational anchor for the group. It provides a monochromatic contrast to the softer, more eclectic choices of the peers standing right next to him.
Right. Because right next to that houndstooth, the document describes another gentleman wearing a beautifully tailored gray suit, but he pairs it with a pale yellow shirt.
Which is a brilliant choice to soften the formality of the gray.
And he doesn't stop there. Against that yellow shirt, he has a dark tie covered in an intricate blue and gold circular pattern held in place by a sleek silver tie pin. Plus, there's a patterned pocket square peeking out.
It sounds incredibly complex when you describe it aloud.
It does. You would think a yellow shirt, a blue and gold patterned tie, a patterned pocket square, and a bold houndstooth neighbor would just be a visual mess. It sounds like it should clash terribly.
What's fascinating here is how this highly curated, elegant clothing isn't being used to stand out aggressively. It's being used to harmonize as a collective. These men understand the mathematical precision of menswear. The garments do not clash because the underlying proportions are perfectly dialed in.
The aggressive edge of high fashion just kind of dissolves.
It completely dissolves. If you took any one of these men and placed them alone on a street corner, they would be the undisputed center of attention. But when they are walking together, the visual impact is about the joy of the group, not individual admiration.
You really see that grounded mathematical precision in the footwear. It's details the text focuses on, too. There's this glorious close-up shot of a pair of gray trousers draped with exact precision over black suede loafers. And the loafers feature this ornate gold embroidery.
Luxurious, but completely grounded by the drape of the trouser.
Exactly. And then, contrasting with that soft suede and ornate detail, the source highlights a man bundled in a robust black coat, carrying a structured black leather rectangular bag. It adds this incredibly clean architectural element to the softer drape of the coat.
And all of that visual harmony reflects a much deeper philosophical alignment within the group. The document goes deep into the movement's core belief, which is really about redefining the uniform itself.
Right, because the sources explicitly state that a suit is an essential garment for men. But they draw a very hard line. They insist that a suit is not just work clothes. It is not a restrictive uniform reserved only for formal occasions.
Which speaks directly to how society has conditioned us to view tailoring.
It really does. I mean, think about it for a second. Ask yourself, how do you view formal wear or work uniforms? Is putting on a suit something you dread, or is it something that brings life to your daily routine? For most people, putting on a suit feels like a mandatory obligation dictated by a boss or a wedding invitation.
Precisely. It feels like armor, or worse, a corporate straitjacket. But Sibiro Sampos seeks to reclaim the suit as a joyful part of male identity.
They want to completely flip that narrative.
They do. In fact, we can analyze a direct quote from the founders here in the text. They state that the goal is to make walking together a way to rebrand the suit from something restrictive into something deeply enjoyable.
By taking it out of the fluorescent-lit office and wearing it on the sunlit streets among friends.
Exactly. Changing the context changes the garment.
But looking at the operational side of this, there is a detail in the source that is just wild to me. We just listed founders who are buyers from Isetan Mitsukoshi and select shops like Ringuji, alongside PR directors and CEOs of different brands.
Yes, they are direct competitors in the retail space.
Right. They are actively fighting for the exact same, often diminishing market share of tailoring consumers in Japan. Yet the source points out that this movement is entirely volunteer-led and fiercely brand neutral. Why would they do that?
That brand neutrality is a masterstroke. It's rare in an industry driven by labels and exclusivity, but the source provides the exact reason why this matters. We have a quote from Toshihiro Yasutake that explains it perfectly.
What does he say?
He notes that despite working for competing companies, they are united by a pure passion for suits and a desire to give back to the industry. By remaining brand neutral, anyone, no matter what brand they are wearing, is welcome in the community.
Oh, wow. So they are trying to grow the entire culture rather than just fighting over their individual slices of the pie.
That is exactly the point. It strips away the elitism that often plagues high fashion. It makes the appreciation of the garment the only prerequisite for entry. You don't need a bespoke Italian suit to walk with them.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because that welcoming philosophy acted like rocket fuel for their message. What started as just 6 volunteers and an amateur buyer in late 2022 quickly snowballed.
The growth trajectory is quite remarkable.
It is. Very quickly, this casual meetup transformed into a community where over 100 enthusiasts join each walk. Try to visualize the sheer weight of 100 men impeccably dressed in tailoring moving through a city together.
A gathering of that size forces the public to engage with the clothing in a completely new way. It becomes a legitimate cultural phenomenon.
And that phenomenon just reached a massive historic milestone. The source images and texts reveal an event that took place recently in mid-January 2026. The movement officially reached a global stage.
A very significant stage at that.
The biggest. They held a major event at the UniCredit Theater during Piti Mani, Maggiuomo 109 in Florence.
For those who follow menswear, having an official presence at Piti Uomo 109 bridges the gap between a regional enthusiast meetup and an international industry mandate.
The source describes this specific walk with genuine reverence. They refer to walking the streets of Florence as walking in the holy land of menswear. And paint this picture in your mind. Over 180 participants from all over the world gathered to walk the streets of Florence together.
And it is important to note that this wasn't done in isolation. They were supported by major industry players.
Right. The text explicitly mentions their main partner for this event was Vitale Barbera's Canonico, or VBC.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the involvement of a legacy institution like VBC alongside a grassroots movement reveals the ultimate mission behind this massive gathering.
It wasn't just a fun Italian vacation for these guys.
Not at all. It is about generating a unique, vibrant energy. The founders believe this collective passion for classic elegance is vital to encourage younger generations to rediscover classic style.
We want to prove that tailoring isn't just a rigid uniform you were forced to buy for a job interview.
Precisely. They are actively trying to ensure that the culture of menswear stays alive for the future. By taking it to the streets of Florence with 180 people from across the globe, they are showing how brightly the culture can burn when held by a unified community.
So what does this all mean? If we take a step back and summarize the journey we've uncovered in this document today. We started with a group of six friends and an amateur buyer in Japan in 2022. They took the simple act of walking in their favorite clothes and turned it into a global collective movement.
A movement that redefines fashion away from isolated peacocking and moves it toward shared community joy.
Exactly. They proved that a suit is not a corporate straitjacket. It is an invitation to belong to a global appreciation of craft.
This raises an important question, and it is something well worth lingering on long after our deep dive today concludes. The men of Sabiro Sampo took the suit, a garment often viewed worldwide as a restrictive, obligatory work uniform, and completely transformed it into a vehicle for joy and community simply by changing the context in which it was worn.
It's such a powerful shift in perspective.
It really is. So I pose this to you. What other rigid uniforms, mandatory routines, or mundane obligations in your own life could be completely revitalized if you just changed the context, stopped doing them alone, and approached them with a community of enthusiasts?
The power of context and community can truly alter how we experience the world around us. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive today. It has been a pleasure to unpack this cultural shift with you. Keep looking closely at the details, and most importantly, keep questioning the world around you.